All right. How's everybody this morning? Good? Everybody's good? Everybody tired? Ready to go? We spring forward today. Our last night sometime. You know, I didn't do the first headbang. Yeah, it's just not in me. I never was a headbanger anyway. That wasn't my style. And I'm not, they got to rapping too, and he's like, man, I really enjoyed Andy. What, I can't even pronounce his last name. I was like, yeah. I said, but I can only pick up a couple words here and there, you know. I can't hardly even keep up with Barry Manilow. Come on. I get his words tangled up too, and I'm singing my own little thing over here. But I'm not that I listen to Barry Manilow either. I just kind of come to my mind. He kind of slow or something. But they had one guy, and they had brought him back out, Sean B. or something. This dude, a bit of it, 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 a bit of it. I said, how's he even breathing? And they was like, they brought him back up, and he's like, people think that you're not doing that. And so he just said, could you do something for us? He's like, just flowing, man. I was like, you got it, man. Hey, one thing about going to a place like that, Winter Jam, it's really diverse. You know, they hitting everybody. And so that's what it's about. You know what I mean? I had a brother one time, he said, well, what'd you get out of that? You know, what'd you think about this group? Because I'm telling you, those headbanger things. I'm like, well, that's the devil. Nah. But you got to listen to the lyrics, you know, and it's what it is. Hey, they were relating to somebody out there, and they were there. However it was, it was the gospel and the music, you know. So I'm like, but that's just not me, you know. But it's like, he asked me, well, what'd you think about that? I said, well, it really doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what I think. But the question proposed to me by the Spirit, and I said, I'm going to give it back to you. What did you get out of it? What was it to you? And that is really like a principal line to where we need to walk in. It's not about this judgment, not about what do you think about it. I know we have a lot of thoughts, and we have a lot of opinions. But I'm going to bust your bubble this morning. I've accepted it. It doesn't matter what you think. It really don't. I mean, you want to express your opinions, that's good. But sometimes that can start something. Don't matter what you think. What do you know? Or who do you know, Lee?
I got one more for you.
Come. Yeah. How can you help it? How can you help that? How can we? Yes. Right.
But it was there. And I praise God for that, because they're going to get it.
Yeah.
One way or another. And they're thinking about it. And they're going to have to make a choice, a decision.
Listen, there's a movement. There's some things happening right now in the kingdom and in the world. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes. Right.
But have a
knowledge to shape. I got you. And I didn't mean that in a derogatory manner,
okay,
you know, to do it. But the thing is, if that's why I kind of, it's what you know. Okay? You say, I don't know it all. Well, I'm telling you, do you know Jesus?
Yeah.
He's all. You see how that works? You know, I'm not playing words either. I'm being real in how it is, because if you know Christ, what else do you need to know? More of Him. You know, if you want to get to it, that's all we really need to know is Christ, because all of us had somebody last night said, I'm going through this inner healing, going through these things. He said, I'm really been wanting to know my identity. Who am I? And I mean, just like, what is it? Why do I, and how can I? Why? Who am I right now? Why do I do the things I do? Because we're going to do things, you know? We are going to tell our opinion on things. We are going to see things our way, and that's going to come out. But so what, all that has to do is we need to have what? Christ's perspective. We need to have His knowledge. We need to have His way of thinking, right? That's what He said, the mind. It should be, all these things should be that of Christ. Jeff?
Filipino evangelist told me something that always stuck with me. It said, in the essentials, let there be unity. In the non-essentials, let there be liberty. And in all things, let there be charity. And that always stuck with me.
Mm-hmm.
I look at different things, different modes, and how people
do. Mm-hmm. And charity is what? Well, yeah, it's the greatest of these is charity. And I love, you know, the word charity, because how, you know, in the King James Version, that's really the only version you're going to see the word charity there instead of love. I think because it's a deeper meaning to that charity. What is charity? If you think about what charity is, some people get proud. I'm not charity. You know, you don't have to give to me, you know, these things. But what is charity? Charity is giving without any thought of return. So He put that in there. So the love of God is giving without anything needed in return. So that's why we have charity in there for that love. I'm going to love you regardless how you love me. You know, I'm not needing you to love me back, because somebody, like, listen, when we grow up, I knew, even coming through, I love you. Especially, you know, you're a little teenager, whatever, you're coming in, you get your little boyfriend and girlfriends, and you get to that point, you want to walk away, love you, you know, or on the phone, hey, okay, love you. Even in an adult, when you get married, love you. And then you don't hear it back, and they just hang up. How does it make you feel? I call them back. I told you I loved you, and you didn't tell me. Oh, I love you, don't you know? No, I need to have that. I need to have that right now. You know? So then we get sideways, you know? Here he goes. So is that charity love? No, that's that worldly love. But guess what that comes from? It comes from trauma. It comes from not getting, it comes from something happened to us in our life to where, what? We don't understand what love is. The depth, the height, the breadth, the length of God's love. Like Paul said, I wish but all things, that's how you, what you would understand. How vast the love of God is. Hey, guy, he's back in my life now. I met him, it's crazy now because he's back now, and I met him in his freshman year of high school. when I was at Polk County High. And Josh, my youngest son, is the same age now. He's a freshman. He's 15. So this guy, Leland, he's 23 now, about to turn 24. And so he's coming back around now on the farm and just kind of wanting to be, he calls me Pops anyway. But in his life, his mom and his dad just went their way, you know. She went to prison. So his grandma actually adopted him and brought him in. Now he had smaller siblings that got dispersed through the system and then eventually landed with aunts and uncles, I think it was. But then he would tell me, you know, we'd have our talks, you know. And then he said, well, my mama loves me. She tells me she loves me and all these things. I said, yes, she loves you, Leland. But we're talking about a deeper kind of love. Your mama loves you because she says she loves you, you know. But her vision or depth of understanding of love has been altered. Because look, I don't have to break this down to you, but I'm going to break it down to you, Leland. There's kids and there's people and family, their parents will do whatever to them. Maybe beat them, abuse them in whatever capacity, and then turn around, you know I love you. See what I'm saying? I abandoned you, and I'm not here for you, but you know I love you. So what does that do to the child? It gives them a warped understanding of what love really is. So here we got now, that's what we got in this world right now. We can say, I love you, like we did with the teeny bompers. Hey, I love you. Look, don't you tell them you love them? Do you understand what that means? The depth of what you just said. Should we try to oppress those emotions? No, I want to encourage those emotions, but what I want to do is have understanding in those emotions. Why do we have those? Well, love really is not an emotion. It's tied to it. We have that to what? To exhilarate. To add to. That's what our emotions or our feelings are. But when trauma comes in, it distorts them, right? It takes them different ways. That's why it's so important for us as people, because I was talking to the guy, he said, I want to find true identity. What am I supposed to be doing? And we's like, we know the number one thing, your identity, and for everybody, is in Christ Jesus. He holds all of your identities. And he will develop those identities. He will grow those identities. He will make you become who you're supposed to be, who you have been created in the womb for. Your soul, there's no doubt in mind. My belief, I'm not putting it on anybody else. Your soul was handpicked and created. That's who you are. Okay? And then that's been pulled out of the closet in heaven, whatever it is, however it looks like. Said, this is Lynn. He's already named you too. Your parents kind of released that name, but who put it in your parents' mouth? They said if you create things, like if you go to the copyright or inventors, what is all that? What's the other? Yeah, and all that stuff. The patent, yeah, all that stuff. When you go get your patent, all that stuff, guess what they're going to ask? What you going to call it? So if you create it and you get it, you get to name it. But so we got, I didn't name my kids, but guess where the name came from? I can go into some of that stuff too. It's like, wow. Like Jody Ann. Jody Ann Elizabeth, just real quick. That name came, it's like, whoa, it's crazy. Well, Kelly had a dream that she was going to have a little girl. She was going to name Jody Ann. That was like,
25 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Walking down the stairs, single as whatever you can imagine. And the Lord told him he's going to have a daughter someday, and it's going to be Audrey.
Yeah. So
think about that premarital counseling session.
Well, I mean, it's there. He's going to drop it in. And so, but see, but now what we did is like, well, here we come. Then next thing you know, Kelly's middle name was Ann, and her brother's name was Jody. So when she lost her brother, that's when she had the dream, thinking that's going to be about her brother and her. Well, here I come along. Well, before, well, she's pregnant, but before we went to the hospital to find out if it was a boy or a girl, that was going to be on a Monday. On that Friday morning, I get a phone call from my mom saying I lost my little sister. Did her service on Sunday. We go to the hospital to find out what we're going to have, and it's a little girl. Well, my sister's name is Julianne. All right, so we're like, boo. My brother, your sister, Jody Ann. Wonderful. A couple months later, my grandmother, she's 98 years old. Praise God. We get to go over there. It's a month before Jody Ann is born. My grandmother gets to lay hands on her, you know, and prayed over that baby. So it's like, well, Elizabeth. Mary Elizabeth was my grandmother's name. So it's like, wow. Okay, so Jody Ann Elizabeth. Man, that rolls off prayer. That's it. That's it. So then we get to digging. It's like, well, what about Hebrew names? You know how all this? Well, we look it up. Well, Jody Ann, that's a Hebrew name. Jody is? Yeah. Ann, that's a Hebrew name. Oh, Elizabeth? Yeah, that's a Hebrew name too. Wow. So what does it mean? Jody means to add to. Ann means favor. Elizabeth meant pledge to God. So through our trauma that she had and the trauma that I had about losing a sibling, God added favor. And we pledged it to Him. Whew. You know? So, this trauma stuff, is it hard? Yes, man. I mean, it's so hard that it's going to try to push you to your utter ruin. It's going to make you doubt everything. It's going to make you feel that you're very less than. It's going to make you feel like you can't go on. And then when you start dealing with it, it's going to make you not want to deal with it. It's going to make you want to shove it right back down where it was, in a box, down in the dungeon of the storage of your soul. You don't want to pull it out. But you know what? You're not going to grow either. You keep pushing it down, you will not fulfill the destiny that God created you, and the world wins. That happened so that you could be stronger. That happened so you could see and understand what the breadth, the height, the width, and the length of the love of God is. How He is there from the beginning to the end, and there's no end in Him. Said He's the author and the finisher, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. But there's no dot on that. There's no dot on Him. Human beings that walk in this earth, in this world, we got a dot on us. We're restricted by time. But when you become born again, that dot goes away. How old are you? It's irrelevant. I'm eternal. I'm eternal. Do I still play ball like I used to? Yeah, no. Not eternal that way. Can I knock a 300-yard drive anymore? No, I can't, man. And it really hurts. The old ego. But you know what? I'm still swinging. Tell them a basketball. Come on. They say 1v1 now. I said, what are you talking about 1v1? 1v1, man. 1v1? One-on-one? Yeah, I guess. No, that's what it's called. One-on-one. You want to play ball? One-on-one. It's one-on-one. No, it's 1v1. No, it's one-on-one. No, it's 1v1. Anyway. Yeah. No, I'm not going to play you one-on-one, okay? Because you're a young buck, and I can't. But I'll tell you what. Let me pop out here. Patoosh. Patoosh. I'm going to teach you how to spell. You ever heard a horse? Supercalifragilistic. We'll do all that. I'll teach you how to spell. But I won't be able to drive the hole to you, on you anymore, much to it. But I can still shoot the ball. So what are we going to do? So here's the part of the trauma. My goodness. I was hoping. I looked on my calendar. I said, man, this is March. I might have 5 weeks. No, I don't. Not four. It's all good. So trauma, let's run through right quick. What was the number one thing? Thanks, old Webster. Number one, we're saying it was what? An injury or such as a wound that what? That comes to a living tissue. And it's caused by what? An extrinsic agent, an external person, agent, whatever it is. And that's what we touched on last week. How kind of crazy is that? You know, there's an agent. Peter talks about what? The enemy is like what? A roaring lion searching to who he can devour. There's an agent out here. This world, this darkness is what? Trying, it's working to try to shut you down. It's working to try to take you out, to make you irrelevant to the kingdom of God. So that it cannot do what? Be established. What did Jesus say to pray? Thy Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Let your what? Kingdom come. In earth. That's what King James said. I like him on that part too. In earth. In this vessel. I want your kingdom to come in this earthen vessel. So that, what does it say over in 2 Corinthians? Paul said that this would be the power and the glory of God in you working. Is that right, Heather? Hallelujah. But we have an agent trying to come. But look, there's another agent. The Holy Ghost. He's working. He's the counselor. He's the strength. He's the power. He's the example of God into us that bears witness of who we are and who he is. And they coincide with the Word. The Word and the Spirit of God will never separate again because of Jesus Christ. And he gives it to you in good pleasure. Living tissue. Would that be this? It's alive. In the garden, we talked about what he do. God breathed on it. He made it a body. He made it a living. He made it a tissue, but it was not alive. But then he did what? He gave you his spirit, and it became a living soul. Which is what? Body, flesh, soul. That's who we are, and the spirit in there, external soul. There's also some trauma, and I talked to Andrea, and I thought about her already when it comes. There's also stuff, what? Andrea, you know? Her and Dana, they what? Leave the house one day and never went back, right? Motorcycle wreck. Both of them lost a leg. It just didn't injure one. It took it away. So there's part that physically that's going to happen as well. Outwardly. There's also the trauma and things that's going to affect us inwardly. And even if it hits you outwardly, it's still going to affect you inwardly. It's coming for all of you. It's not coming just to take a little piece of you. It's coming for all of you. And that's what's going to take it. But see, guess who else is coming for all of you? The Holy Spirit's coming. Jesus is coming. He didn't come for part of you. He didn't give you part of him. He gave you all of him. All of the power, all of the authority has been given unto me. He's going to give it to you. Go. Walk. Get this stuff out. So look what it says right here now. Here's another couple things I want to touch on. I got to take that out. Looks like I just did take it out, didn't I? If anybody's writing it down, y'all good with this? I'm going to take it out because I can't flip that over. Man, we're already out of time. Thank y'all for joining us today, guys. I need a wet rag on that, but anyway. All right, so look. Here's the other part. That was the A part. Here's the B part of that first one. That's not the good one. That's the good one. Yeah. Here's B. Look, a disordered. Look. Ah. So I'll say that it was coming there, but resulting. Or physical. Can y'all read that? If I get out of the way. Yeah, psychic or behavioral state. Where am I at? Where you at? Well, I had that in there. I don't even know where you at.
That's okay. We get it.
That was there. Psychic. Disordered.
As long as everybody
knows. I don't even know where you at.
You're good, Mike. Keep going.
You're good.
We're saving you.
Psychic. P-S-Y. Oh, there. Okay. P-S. Yeah, that's what I got. I was looking, that's what I got wrote down right here. Well, my eyes was running on me, I guess. I got P-S-Y-C-H-I-C, chick, psych chick. That's how you spell it. That's it. Thank you, honey. Side chick. No, she's my main chick. So, but look what it happened, though. Behavioral state, psychic, or behavioral state resulting from a severe mental, emotional stress, or physical injury. We know that could happen, but what happens when that mental, man, you know, I guess it kind of add to some of maybe my mentalness or, you know, my psyche or whatever it was too, you know, but I got a crazy man psyche, you know, and it's okay, isn't it? It's okay to be a man nowadays.
Yeah. I'm glad you know you're a man.
But on the other side of it, that could also go overbearing as well. You know, because now I'm a man. But what happens there, that comes from something that happened too. One of the words for me, gentleness. Gentleness, come on, we'll be gentle. Jesus said, come to me, what? For I am gentle and meek. Learn from me. Okay. But when things happen, like last night, man, my little girl, Jody, she fell down. She's doing Jubilee, stand up in the chair. She flipped over. You know, it's like, no, why did you do that? That's not the first, you know, that's my first response, you know, want to be. I told you, but no, I'm a little girl, Daddy. I'm crying here. Let me pick you up and love you. You know, my daddy probably kicked me. Hey, you think that hurts? How about that? I told you. Well, you know, just being real. So these are the things that what we have to do. We got to put truth on top of these things and overcome. One of the biggest verses I'm telling you that I always go to is 1 John 4:4. Oh, greater is he's in me, he's in the world. We overcome. Okay. But what's the first part of that? Greater is he that's in you. Well, who's in you? Who's the one in you? Is it your daddy, earthly daddy, or your heavenly daddy? Is it your earthly mama, or is it like the nurture of the Holy Spirit working here? What's it work inside of you? Well, the first part of that verse says what? Dear children, you are of God. Dear children of God, because you have overcome. You're an overcomer. Dear children of God, you are an overcomer because greater is He that's in you than He's in this world. Oh, so let's put some truth on it. T-R-U-T-H, I spell that right? Or is it T-R-O-O-F? I don't care. But I'm going to tell you G-E-S-U-S. Jesus is the truth. Okay? So we put Him on it. So no matter what that is, if I've not overcome anything, if I'm still stuffing stuff down in here, the trauma, listen, I don't have to dig up y'all's boxes. The spirit of a man, where did it come from? God, okay? That's His spirit that He gave you. But He uses what He gave you. It says what in Proverbs? He said, the spirit of a man is like a candle unto the Lord. That's His beacon that He's got inside of each and every one of you. That's His GPS or whatever you want to say. He knows where you're at. And He can see everything just like on your Apple phone now. Like on your TV at home. They're looking at you and watching everything you're doing. Jesus has been doing it since the beginning. But He uses that light. It says that He uses that light to search the most inner parts of your soul. Where those boxes are stored. Where those hurts. Maybe they're not even your boxes. You got them inherited out of the attic of your great-great-grandparents. And you didn't even know it, but they got pushed down inside of your soul too. But we're going to take that candle. We're going to take that light of the Lord. And we're going to get down in here. Because you know what? If we're not overcoming those boxes, we can't fulfill the destiny and the calling of the kingdom of God inside of us and in this world. That's what creation is groaning and moaning for us to do what we're supposed to do right here. Overcome all this hurt, all this junk, and know who's going to do it? He's going to do it. He's going to nurture you. He's going to comfort you because that's His name. And if we go through this world, we find our comforts in all this other stuff, but we're still not dealing with the stuff that's down deep in our souls. And guess what? That stuff just starts accumulating. We buy warehouses and put that stuff in there. Well, we got this big old warehouse right in here that contains all the things of the universe. And we keep pushing stuff everywhere else. But we're not dealing in right here, right where we need to be. So that the kingdom can come. And that the groaning and the moaning and where you're seeing right now these young folks and things are starting. Hey, they know. They're hungry. There's a hunger. There's a thirst that's in them. They don't know what it is. They don't know why it's there. But us grown folk need to be where we can feed them. What did Jesus say to the disciples? Yeah. And then what happened on the mount? Hey, feed them. All these people, what are they going to do? We can't do. We got to go eat too. I'm hungry too. But I can't go buy them food. That's 3 months worth of wages. Feed them. Feed them. They're hungry. There's a passage over in Luke. I love it. He says, blessed is the man who is found giving the bread to the children in the house when the owner returns. Do we got any bread to give them? They're coming. They're coming. But we got to have the bread of life to give them. Are we going to keep giving them the same thing the world's been giving them? And we're going to still stay in the same place. Then we're going to see the fall of all of it. And it's going to be a daggone disaster. But it's not going to be. Because Jesus already prophesied. Jesus already told you what's going to happen. It used to be broad is the gate for destruction. But I'm telling you what, that was before the cross. Reinhard Bonnke, man. He always talked about that, you know, and I loved it. He's like, I'm telling you that broad is the way to Jesus. Because we bring that cross. We take that thing. We say, no, this is the way. This is the way. And we multiply the kingdom of God. And we don't need just a little narrow way anymore. We pave in a way. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make the way broad. Lay the track. Put down the sidewalk bricks. Make a pathway where they won't stumble. Again. If we can't overcome what's in us, we can't help them overcome what's in them. That's the part. And why we have the trauma? Hey, it's because it's trying to get us. But what we have now is the truth. And that's what we're going to pour on top of this stuff and reconcile and bring everything back to where it's supposed to be. Yes, Lynn, we got to close.
The narrow is really the choice. The choosing is narrow.
And I praise God for that.
Right.
Because that's what I tell them. Well, how you doing? Hey, I'm good. Why? I don't have another option. Well, then, don't tell me there's another option. It is. The other proverb, what the proverb says, that the dark is the road of the wicked. They don't know what makes them stumble. But for the righteous, it gets brighter and brighter as the noonday. We don't have to stumble because we got that light. And I like that song. And it's what? And it's always shine in the dark and into the day. So when that dark day comes, come on. Anyway, praise God. Yeah, I don't know all of it. I'll put my own words in there again, like I told you. But I'm going to roll with it, whatever it is. It's going to be glorified to Him. I don't care if y'all like it or not. So good. All right. We got a little late start. Got into some stuff. We're going to put more truth on these things. But we got to unfold this stuff first. And God's going to work it all out. Because where are we going? We're going to tackle all the trauma. We're going to pour the truth on it. Then we're going to start transitioning. And where we're transitioning to? Tranquility. We're going to learn what tranquility is. What is tranquility? Anybody got an idea already? Some peace? Ooh, Paul talking about from glory to glory. All right, Father, we thank you for this love and life you've given us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, that light that's going to shine and going to illuminate, Lord, whatever it is that we need to. Let us not drop back away from it, Lord. Let us keep walking boldly, for you say that the righteous are bold as lions. Let us go forth, Lord God, and do the things that we're supposed to do. Us. Let us sweep our own doorstep, Lord God, before we worry about it. Let us take the log out of our own eye. Let us be able to see and have the bread that we need to feed the ones and help the ones to walk the path that they need to walk so that we all can live in the kingdom in unity with your power and your glory, with your banner hanging over all of us in love. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. We release this word and this truth so that we can become who we are called to be in Jesus' name. Amen.